Last week we talked about, Pastor Travis talked about the presence of God. I want to talk a little bit about maintaining the presence of God, okay? You can come over here and you can receive from God, you can put your hands up, you can feel the presence of God. And you know what? In this church, there's nothing more that I want to see is that people say there's a presence of God in this church. You know, yesterday, a couple of days ago, I had somebody call, and he said to me, he said, well, what kind of church are you? Do you use the King James Bible? Well, I said, sometime. I said, sometime, you know, I have a problem with my English, and the D's and the D's doesn't always fit with my language. Do you have hymn books? I said, well, we don't have hymn book. Well, sometime we'll do sing a hymn. Well, I guess it's not my church. And I said, okay, that's great. Fine, wherever. But if that person would have said, is God present in your church? Who cares what Bible you read from? Who cares who's preaching? When you come in and you can sense the presence of God, if unbeliever come here, and in the book of Corinthians, talks about unbeliever coming into your midst, and they can sense the presence of God, they will know that there's something different. So, what we see is the presence of God in this place, but the presence of God has to be taken out of this place into your surrounding. Like Nancy was sharing, even at work, with her smile, it's affecting the kingdom of God. For the guy to come back and say, hey, this is special here. Not because of what she said, and I know, because the Spirit of God lives in her. And when the Spirit of God lives in you, it should be noticeable. Sooner or later, somebody will say, there's something different about you. Anybody ever say that about you? There's something different about you. I don't know. If it's your look, if it's your smile. I don't know. So, question, have you ever had a thought that you could live without his presence? Very deep question. I'll repeat it again. Did you ever have the thought that you can live without his presence? Well, you guys must be saint because sometime, even in my life, see, when you have all your duck in order, right, John? Right? It feels good. You got control over your life and everything is okay. Your health is good. Your finance is good. You're wise. You make the right decision. You handle your kids awesome, and you begin to walk into dangerous ground because it's a high ground. And you know what? Yesterday we did a wedding, and I had two glass with some juice in it, and I called it the me glass. And I said, you're coming here to be one, you got to get rid of the me glass. That's the last time you drink from this cup. And they each drank, they put it on the floor, and they smashed it. And I said to them, don't use that in the future to say you drank that cup and you said about yourself and you're selfish. No, it's not about that. It's about remember that now you become one and you forget about yourself. Because me will always go back to the top. It's like if you sink something in the water and it's lighter than water, it's always come back to the top. Me always come back to the top. But God says, us, you and me. You know, you and God is the majority. So sometime I did. Sometime, you know, things are going good. And you kind of forget. It's not that you think you're going to live with, or you can't make it with, you can make it without God, but it's just you forget about him. David said, God, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. And you know that the Holy Spirit dwells in you, and sometimes you're saying, well, the Holy Spirit is in me, but His presence is not there. Is that possible that the Holy Spirit be in you, but His presence is not there because your mind is someplace else? Your mind has it all figured out. Things are going good. I'm not reading my Bible. I'm maybe misjudged pretty often. Whatever. I'm not where I'm supposed to be with God. This is a bad thing. Bad place to be. And you know what? You look in the Old Testament and you see all the kings. They thought they had it all together. They got the kingdom. They got the wives. They got the money. And you know, they're miserable. And God shows up. And He says, you need my presence. So what I'm saying to you today, you got to take this presence outside of this church. That's where it belongs. Outside in the world. Maybe that's why many people slowly backslide. Not that there's a big sin. Maybe that happened in their life, but they slowly backslide, go back in the world because they forget about the presence of God. And they are self-sufficient sometimes, and we don't want to go there. How many wants to go there? You don't want to go there. You want to stay close to Him. Now, Exodus 33, verse 15, I asked him to put it on the screen. It's about Moses, and he had a little talk with God. Exodus 33, verse 15. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. And he goes on to say, if you're not with us, we're not going nowhere. And you know, it should be our prayer. I'm going to hold you here until you say that. We're going to lock the door. And I don't care what you have to do. We're going to say, God, I'm not moving here until you come with me out there. Wherever I go, I know you're with me. See, this is a church that has the presence of God. A church that brings victorious people out in the world to make a difference. And I know we're not all pro, but God is not looking for pro. He's looking for fishermen, people that likes fishing, people that don't know too much. But they said, we know them because they've been with Jesus and they can make the difference. They're not educated, okay? Now, I'm not an educated man. Grade 12, that's all I have, and I had to fight to get through it. I doubled my grade 3 because there was too many people in the class. So they took the tallest one and they said, you stay behind, right? And I'm not an educated man, but God doesn't look at education. He's looking at the heart. He's looking at your heart. Are you willing to say, Lord, if you don't go with me, I'm not moving. And Moses said to God, Lord, if your presence is not with me, then I'm going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. I won't take a single step. That's how desperate he was. Moses knew that it was God's presence that set the people apart from all of the nation. And you look at all the nation that when they came out of Egypt, there was the Amalekite. There was the Amalekite, there was the Jebusite, all thoseite, there was all a lot of kings and kingdom and all that stuff. But none of them reverenced God and had the presence of God. So God wanted to take a people out of a nation and form a nation. And those are our ancestors, basically, Jewish people. So, God's presence, okay? And the same truth is about the church today, the church of Jesus Christ. You know, church is not about a building. My son is having church today in Peterborough in a gymnasium. You know, Travis, he's preaching today in Kingston in a church, in a school hall. But there gathers God's people. And it doesn't matter. Thank God we have a place here of worship that we can just leave and lock the door. Basically, we don't have to set up and all that. So it's not about building. It's not about doctrine so much. And I know doctrines are good. And you got to have the high doctrine. It's not about the preacher. It's about the presence of God in the house, in our life. When we were in Toronto, years ago, I guess probably 20 years ago now, I still remember that. You know, there's things you don't forget. We went to a little church. It's probably about this size. Probably maybe enough people to fill one row. It's small. It's very small. So we sat in the back. And, you know, it was kind of like a Sunday night. And there was a little guy with his bike at the front. You know, he's biking. And this lady came and sang a song. She couldn't really carry a song. There was no music. But my wife and I were bawling. Because of the presence of God in the room. See, it's not about being so good. Preacher, worship leader. It's not about being so good about as a person. It's about, you see it. So we sat there and we said, oh, you know, we could feel, it was not emotional, it was the presence of God in our spirit. And we left that church and we went back home and I'm driving and I'm moving this way and we're talking and we're just filled with the Spirit. Have you ever been filled with the Spirit and you talk to your spouse or, you know, your kid or somebody else? And I didn't know that there was a police officer behind me. So I'm turning this way, and he wanted to pass me. Anyway, I just kind of kept blocking him. I wasn't looking in my mirror. We were just talking because we were just overwhelmed by just the presence of God. So he puts his light on, his siren. Then I saw him, and I pulled over, and he came to the car. And I never seen a police officer upset. Usually they're pretty nice. I put my window, he's yelling at me, putting his finger like this. He says, "What are you doing? Do you have any license? You know, I'm trying to tell you, move over, because I've been chasing this guy for an hour. And you're in my way, and you're moving there, and you're cutting me off. And you know, I'm just bubbling inside. I couldn't care less, as long as you don't give me a ticket." He was so upset. It's because we were in a place where we saw the presence of God. We wept and we talked about it. It was like, it just fills you. God just fills you. And you know what? You couldn't care about sometime other stuff, right? Problem or whatever. And the other lady, there was on Yonge Street, Pastor Bud Williams. And he was an older gentleman. His wife was an older lady. She was been in her 70s then. She couldn't sing very good. But she led the worship often. But she couldn't sing. Her voice was way out there someplace. But when she sang, it's like the presence of God just came. It's not about how good we are. It's about how good He is. And I mean, I'm not against being good or trying our best and singing good or preaching good. I'm just saying, God is not in it. Sometimes we spin our wheel. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. What What's the next scripture we have? Do you remember one time there was a gentleman from China? I think they called him the Heavenly Man. Is it the Heavenly Man? He came to the church in Belleville, Calvary Temple. And somebody asked him, I found that out after, what do you think of Canadian church? I mean, the Heavenly Man, the guy was torture and, you know, you name it, whatever, he went through bad. He says, you know what? I'm amazed how far church can go without God. Not all of them, but a lot of them sometimes. Because God is not always present there. We sing, we do an offering, we do preaching, we whatever, but we're not in it. Or, you know, we I like the testimony this morning because every testimony gives glory to God. So we don't want to be like that. I want to be a person that leaves a mark about the presence of God. So Moses was saying, your presence, God, you, that's what I want. Genesis 21, verse 22, Abimelech, he was an heathen king. Is it heathen? Heathen king. And when Isaac came back from war, and he went to war against million of people, there were so many, and his army was smaller, and he went to war, and before he went to war, he cried on to God. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Pichol, the commander of his army, spoke to Abraham, saying, God is with you in all that you do. An ungodly king said to Abraham, God is with you. You can see the presence of God in you. Now, is there a better compliment that somebody can give you? That I can see God in you. Meaning something is happening. You've been somewhere with somebody, and that person is still there. So, verse 23, what does it say? Now therefore, swear to me by God that you will not deal falsely with me, with my offspring, or with my prosperity, but that according to the kindness that I have done to you, you will do to me and to the land in which you have dwelt. Well, you say, well, maybe the king said that to him because he wanted to be nice. He didn't say that because he wanted to be nice, because he saw that God was with him. And you know, we could go in any book and we can find that. Exodus 13:21. And it talks about when they came out of Egypt. Remember what there was during the day? There was a cloud of smoke. The glory of God was standing there. And at night, there was a fire. And you know, the Israel people were right in between there, between the cloud by day and between the fire by night. And the presence of God was with them. And Moses said, well, we're going to keep it that way. Okay. So there was a condition attached to getting and maintaining God's presence. 2 Chronicles 14, verse 11. And that's about Asa, the prophet. God says his presence, if you seek him, he will find you. When we went to Israel, you know, Jewish people, a lot of them don't know Jesus Christ. but they still believe in Jehovah, God and King. And when they had a six-day war, what happened? That was in, I forget when it was, 70, 80? 1967, they had a six-day war. So when we're driving, we see all these tanks, kind of half a tank here and half a tank there, and all over, you know what I mean? And I said, well, what's that for? Oh, he said, that's the war. That's the tank of the enemy that they destroy. And you know, because Israel trusted in God, and they leave that there. Well, I said, you know, at home we pick up stuff. We just don't leave it there. You know, you could sell that steel for scrap, whatever. No, he said, they're left there to remind people that God is with us. So when other nation comes and see the enemy destroy, they see that God is with them. How much more is God with us because we know Jesus Christ and he lives in our life and his presence is with us. So Matthew 7, 7 and 8. Jesus says a pretty plague. He says, seek and ye shall find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. See, in order to maintain God's presence, you have to say, Lord, I need it. I want it. And when you get it, you say, I'm going to keep this. I'm going to cherish this. Always going to think about it. Say, God, you're present in my life. Talk to him. Hear his voice. And then you're going to keep that presence. This church is striving for God's presence. Are you striving for his presence? David says in Psalm 51, verse 11, don't take your presence away from me, or don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Holy Spirit is with me, and he will never leave me, and I know that. So God will stand there watching you make a fool of yourself. Why did I put that there? I don't know. But I think that's true. Anybody, sometime you walked away from God far enough that you felt really bad? You did, Bill? I believe that. Anybody? And I did it too, you know, because we get caught up in our things and we forget about the Master. And he's there and he's waiting for us until we make a decision. Say, God, it's you or nothing. I'm not going back in Canaan, in Egypt. I'm going for the new land. I'm going to understand. Okay, say that after me. God, you live with me. I want to hear you. I want to hear you. Well, you repeated what I said. That's good. Okay? You're good. God, I want to leave this place. Different person. Every week. I want to be charged with your presence. You don't want to be the same anymore. How many is tired of the old you? Give it up. Take in the new you. Because when God is with you, it's totally different. You're a new person.